Thank you, praise team. It's so awesome to sing about how we will rise because he is risen. It's a great day. I'd like to begin, before getting into the sermon today, just to talk a little bit more about our life groups that we heard about earlier this morning and where they fit in the life of this church. If you don't mind, would look inside your bulletin to the inside, on the first page inside, and right up here at the top, it says these three words, worship, grow, serve. And for those of you that are new to our church, or maybe you haven't been here a while, that's our church goal in three words, worship, grow, serve. And every church is structured a little bit differently, but that's with God's leading is how the Lord has led us to set up the structure here. What does that mean? What that means is most important is worship. And worship is what we're doing right now. We're praising God and we're being fed by God. We're receiving the power of God here today. And worship is not just what happens on Sunday morning. God's desire is that worship would happen every day, wherever we find ourselves, that we'd be in constant relation with him, speaking to him, allowing him to speak to us, being filled with his power and his strength. It starts with worship. And that's why we stress so much the importance of being a part of corporate worship. We need to keep gathering together as God's people. The second part is grow. That flows right from worship and grow. Grow is growing in Jesus Christ, growing deeper in Jesus Christ. And the way that happens here is through our small groups. And that's why we talk about small groups so much, because it is so important. If you're just coming to worship, you're not going to be able to grow deep in the Lord. Deep spiritual growth, this has always been, this is how Jesus did it. Deep spiritual growth will happen in small groups. And that's why we encourage this so much, because we want you to know the fullness and the richness of a relationship with Jesus. So I want to encourage you, and forgive me if I get too excited about this, but I am excited about this. We want you to be a part of a small group here. And if you look through this sheet, if for some reason we want to remove every obstacle, we're trying to have a small group almost every day. If there's you look at these groups and you say, wow, I'd love to be a part of a small group, but this just doesn't fit my schedule, please take your bulletin and write on there where it says at the front, I would like to join a life group. Please just jot a note down there. I'd like to be a part of this, but here's the day and time that would work for me. None of these other days and times would work, and we will do everything we can to accommodate you, because this is so important. In your small group, it'll be 6, 7, 8 other people. And the great thing about a small group is that you can discuss. We're too large of a group here to do that. But in a small group, you can talk about, you can ask questions, you can talk about what it means to follow Christ. Another thing that happens in these small groups is you're going to get very, very close together. And those of you who are in a small group, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a very powerful thing. And when hard times come, and they do for all of us, that's the small group will be your first place that you turn. They're going to be there for you. I'm very, very tight with the people in my small group. It's because we see each other almost every week. And it's a strong thing. And then the next step is serve. Worship, grow, serve. Serve is all about ministry. It's all about evangelism. It's all about taking what God has given us and then giving that to other people. Letting other people know about the power of Jesus, serving them, washing their feet, anything we can do to serve and lift up others. And there's a lot of different ways to describe this. I don't know if you've traveled around and looked at different churches, but most churches will be strong on one half of this and weak on the other. One way to think about this is input and output. Input is worship and grow. And that's where we allow the living God to fill us with his power. And that's an awesome thing. And output, basically, is what happens in grow as we minister to each other, but also in serve as we serve other people. That's the output of all the love that God has given us. And most churches, if you travel around, this has been my experience anyway, you'll see them be strong on one or the other. For instance, there'll be some churches, man, they are amped up and they put so much energy into worship and grow, and they're constantly being fed and nourished. But when you look at that church, some of them are not doing any ministry. Some of them will go years without having any baptisms. There's no evangelism happening. And you wonder, man, you're getting so much from God. How come you're not giving to other people? How come you're not sharing what God has given to you? And then you'll see and how tragic that is. I mean, you receive God's goodness, but you don't share it. But then on the other end of the spectrum, you'll see some churches, I've seen some like this, where they'll be so strong on evangelism and ministry, and they just go, 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 go. But they don't give time. They don't give attention to letting God feed them, letting God fill them with his power. And what does that lead to? That leads to burnout. Those are churches that are setting themselves up for burnout. I'll be frank with you. At Northwest, I think that since I've been here, I've seen the pendulum swing both ways. But our heart's desire is to have balance. We want to be a church that is fed and nourished by the living God. And we want to be a church that doesn't keep that to ourselves, but shares it with others. But a key pillar of this are these small groups. I just can't stress it enough. And so if there's any way, find a way to get into one of these small groups. Another reason, I'm just being very transparent today, I've been meeting a lot with our leadership team and with our deacons, and we talk when we meet about the spiritual health of our church. And we pray and we ask God, God, what needs to happen at Northwest in order for us to get to the next level, in order for us to be deeper in you. And the consensus lately is that the number one area where we're most kind of hurting right now is leadership. The number one area where we need to grow, we need more men and more women to step up and be leaders in this church. And where leaders are formed most of all in this church is in small groups. And so if you're not in one, please get in one. A great thing, if you're in a small group, it's so beautiful, you can invite a friend, you can invite a family member. Sometimes they would never come to this sanctuary, but they'll come to a house. They'll come because you invited them. So please pray with me in this, and please let me encourage you one more time to really, as you leave and go out in the foyer today, find a place where you can sign up and say, hey, I want to be a part of that life group. All right, here we go. Many of you know, I'm sure all of you know, actually, Henry Ford. Henry Ford, the great inventor of automobiles and the great car manufacturer. He was having a lunch with a man one day. And Ford turned around and he asked him, he said, who is your best friend? And the man started to name this person and that person. And Ford stopped him right there. And he said, no, I'll tell you who your best friend is. Your best friend is the person that brings out the best in you. And isn't that an amazing gift to have, to be able to bring out the best in other people? Wouldn't that be a great best friend to have? Wouldn't that be a great best friend to be? Wouldn't that be a great boss to be? Wouldn't that be a great parent to be? When John Elway was giving his induction speech into the National Football League Hall of Fame, he said this about his father. He said, he is the only reason that I'm in the Hall of Fame. What a great thing for a son to be able to say about his father or his mother. The only reason I'm here is because of the influence of my parents. And you know that there are many sons and many daughters who are living today aimless lives with little hope and with little future. And they can say, my life today is the result of my parents' influence. We see in Scripture, though, that godly leaders know how to bring out the best in other people. And that's the kind of leader through God's strength, through God's power, that we need to strive to be, a godly leader who is serious about bringing out the best in others. There's kind of a funny story about George and Barbara Bush. They were on the campaign trail one day in the presidential limousine, and even that vehicle needs gas sometimes, so they pulled into a gas station, and the attendant at the gas station happened to be an old sweetheart of Barbara's. So they exchanged greetings and well wishes, and after the limo was back on the highway, George leaned over and he remarked, just think, if you'd married him, you'd be the wife of a gas station attendant. Barbara said, oh no, you're confused, George. If I'd married him, he'd be the president of the United States. that's what a leader can do. Leaders bring out the best in others. But to be truthful, that's really not, it may sound easy, but the truth is, if you get serious about that, that's usually not an easy process. In fact, it can often be quite painful and frustrating for you. It can try your patience sometimes.